Jeez, dude, you need to change your blinker fluid.
That's not a thing.
And your thoracic couplet is totally shot.
Really?
It is.
Look, nothing gets by me. Just like this oil filter. Nothing gets by Purolator.
Hey, if you're using Purolator Boss, you know your stuff.
Oh, yeah. Protection up to 15,000 miles.
Ooh, but you really should replace your Vesuvius valve.
Stop talking.
Purolator oil, air, and cabin air filters. Nothing gets by us. Available at Advance Auto Parts, Pep Boys, and other fine retailers.
Hello, and welcome to the Variety Radio Online. We are dedicated to bringing you news, reviews, and interviews from the world of entertainment. I'm Michelle, and I'm here tonight with Matt and Leisha Clouston, and they are the creators of Broken Toy. It is a web series that, I have to say, fans, I was so amazed when I saw it. I watched it. I hadn't heard of it yet, to be honest, and when it was sent over to me, I went back and watched it, and it was very easy to watch, and they're very short, and I was like, holy shit, these guys rock. So I was really amazed. And so I'm going to jump in and welcome Matt and Leisha.
Hello. Hello.
What I'd like to do first is, since this is such a new concept for possibly some of our fans and things like that, is for you to first, being the creators, where did this brainchild come from?
Oh, well, you know, we were actually, Leisha had just graduated from AFI, from film school, and we knew a bunch of people who were out of work, a bunch of students who were out of work, and we were all sitting around, and, you know, with new media right now and with the quality of cameras that we have, it's sort of a new age of accessibility, and we decided that we should not be sitting around just waiting, so we decided to actually put together a little project, and it started off, we just decided to do sort of a more horror-centric short. And then as we were able to do it and got a little bit more advanced with the special effects, we kept it going. And so it's been sort of a pet project that we've been working on for the last couple of years.
Okay.
Yeah, we decided to write around what we had at our accessibilities, you know, apartments, rooftops, fields, like we just sort of tailored everything around the locations that we had and sort of just removed all the obstacles to getting us to where we need to be to shoot.
And you guys both probably realize this going through this process is that, and Matt, you mentioned it, it is amazing what you now, almost anyone could, you know, sit down and think through how to pull something off as a movie or a clip, or it's so easy to record. I mean, obviously, people record stupid crap all the time. So why not make, you know, you know, the people who out there who have really great ideas, and that's some of us nerds who may have been around forever reading comics and geeking out on sci-fi, but, you know, not taking the time to obviously have $1 million to drop into a movie, can actually take the time to do something now.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, we're complete geeks. I mean, you know, my first comic was Amazing Spider-Man 194 with the Black Cat, and so we've been reading comics for a while, and you know, almost obsessively been watching Battlestar Galactica and whatnot. So, you know,
yeah,
really is our demographic, our genre, and we've been so obsessed with the superhero films that have been getting more and more popular that we sort of wanted to do our own take of one. We sort of went a little bit darker than
mm-hmm.
a typical one. And made it a little, not especially violent, but a little bit more from a bad guy's perspective. And, you know, we had no experience whatsoever with visual effects. So everything that we have on screen was learned through basically the interwebs. So it was just stuff that we watched tutorials, you know, compulsively.
Good job.
Yeah.
Now, Leisha, you're the only female, right? Is that correct?
Actually, I direct it. And I also do the sound design and some of the picture editing, and yeah, we're.
I just said,
you know.
Mm-hmm. No, I just saw where it said 3 fanboys and 1 fangirl, and I was like, okay,
yeah,
she has to keep
no,
them straight.
Right.
So.
It's true. Yeah, I am the only female, and you know what? It's. I just think that Hollywood has missed the market with female in sci-fi. Like all of my
mm-hmm.
women friends are totally into sci-fi, and
mm-hmm.
like. Huge Battlestar Galactica fans and stuff, and Hollywood will just not listen, and I don't get it, but that's, you know, I was really excited to do this, and, you know, we all love our Doctor Who and stuff like that, so,
right.
Yeah, Yeah, so I'm hoping this catches fire.
I totally agree. I mean, you know, thank goodness Katie Suckoff is a huge our women sci-fi advocate. I mean, she pushes hard for a woman present, even though she's kind of a badass. But if you ever listen to her speak, she really pushes it, which is great. And, you know, we need more women like that, you know. So.
Absolutely. It is surprising. And like you said, you went to Comic-Con, and we were just there at San Diego Comic-Con as well.
Mm-hmm.
When you look around, I mean, I would honestly, you know, the argument is there that more of the people attending actually are women. They are the, you know, a huge part of the demographic, and, you know, for whatever reason right now, they are underrepresented in the actual mainstream system. So I do think that it's sort of the way our independent films are working, you will see more and more, because it's the only place that they can actually have a voice.
Yeah.
Well,
what really made me excited was to see, like, there were so many dads there with their little girls in cosplay, and I was like, this is awesome. I actually saw more little girls than little boys in cosplay, and, like, very excited to be there. And that just warmed my heart. It was great.
It does. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. I think that Hollywood still has Hollywood's obviously always changing, but it still has kind of, I don't know if this is going to make sense, a good old boy system.
Yes,
and with
definitely.
A good old boy system, that typically is your male dominant figures, and doesn't mean they don't do a great job, but they're missing a boat on the.
It's true. You know, I understand in a lot of ways, you know, why the system is structured that way. It's a lot of it, you know, is based on fear. You know, that you have basically people who are working as studio executives, and they have houses, and they have cars, and they have their own payments, and, you know, they get projects across their desk, and as appealing as it is to go with the artistic one, you know, when your job is dependent on it, you are definitely going to make the safe choice, and unfortunately the safe choice a lot of times is what has already been established, what is already, that's why you get Smurfs too. And so when you see so many people are so antagonistic about what's coming out of Hollywood, they have to understand that a lot of this antagonism that they throw on the interwebs, Hollywood hears it, and they are scared of actually putting their neck out there for whatever reason. You know, every time you see a movie like Looper, as much as, you know, as a lot of people want to embrace Looper, there's just as many people who want to smack it down. And, so it's almost easier to go with, you know, the Scooby-Doos than there are with the Loopers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's definitely a hard system. I'm not entirely certain how it will change. I actually don't think it truly can. I think the only thing that can be done is that the Internet may be just growing, you know, more and more to represent those voices.
I don't know if you guys have noticed, and I think also stuff like Kickstarter, helping movies, you know, get independent films. I have some friends now who are actually actors who have done a military movie and they're on Kickstarter. So I think it's also some people taking their own step out
and
funding it themselves.
There's really nothing right now that's actually stopping you. I mean, you know, I went to film school, you know, a while ago, and I was cutting film at the time. And at that time, you know, it was unheard of to actually make your own shorts. One, to actually make them was incredibly costly, and two was actually to get it out there to be seen. When you used to make a short film, the only opportunity you had to have it seen was at a film festival. You really couldn't get it out there. And now, I mean, it takes, you know, 20 minutes to upload your work on YouTube. So it's you really do get to the audience as easily as ever.
I agree. Now, I want to may have done a rabbit trail there. Sorry. I'd love for you guys to tell the fans about Broken Toy. What's going on in these episodes?
Well, basically, we sort of wanted to do the story. We wanted to have the protagonist, the lead character. We wanted to actually do it from a villain's perspective. The only thing is he doesn't really know he's a villain. In his mind, he's the hero. But when you actually look at the logistics of what he's doing, he is the bad guy, and everyone's trying to stop him. And we sort of took a modern take on Frankenstein, where it's a creation that was never really supposed to survive, actually has broken free and is actually wreaking havoc and chaos. And the whole idea was that it is a military, a guy coming home from the military is basically failed at everything, has signed on for this program that actually is, even though he's gotten superpowers, he's actually lost his mind. So it is funny, it is action, and it is sci-fi, and sort of undercurrent is this tragedy of this character who really can't find his place.
what made you go with the YouTube 7 minutes feel?
You know, it's kind of tricky right now how and what the actual specific time somebody wants to watch on YouTube. And we're always playing with the actual runtime of our episodes, because a lot of times people are just checking in, you know, sort of mindlessly pretending to work while they're at the office and watching things. So, you know, I mean, right now it's sort of a weird time with YouTube as well. There is obviously a ton of movies that are, you know, or videos that are, you know, reduced to cats and dogs. And then there's a lot of them that are basically Call of Duty sort of vignettes of people shooting each other. So there really isn't that much in terms of narrative, in terms of storylines that's out there. You know, there's a lot of sort of short films, just the, you know, single episodes. But we sort of went in with the attitude that we would make a feature, a 90-minute feature, and just chop it up and just keep it whenever we could, whenever we had the opportunity, we would actually film a segment of it and put it up. So it seems like between 7 and 10 minutes right now is a solid time to get the story out while keeping people interested.
Oh, I like it, actually. I think you're right. It kind of captures you just enough. It's similar to how we do interviews. We don't do hour-long interviews. We try to do that 15, 20-minute, you know, because people's attention span, you know, what are they going to capture and jump in? Yeah. When you're directing, how long are you putting, time-wise, work-wise, because you guys are all volunteering and kind of doing this with your own money and your own time, what are you putting into, how much is it taken in personally into it? Each episode.
Well,
what work hours?
Usually,
does that make sense? Sorry.
Yes, that makes total sense. Usually, we, in terms of our work hours, we try to keep shooting our actual shooting day to like 1 or 2 days. Since we don't want to, you know, we're not paying people really. Everybody's there because they really believe in the project, and we're funding this out of our own pockets from our survival jobs. But we try to keep our shooting day low in terms of how many days we shoot. But in terms of post, that's where it takes a lot of time, because Matt is doing everything visual in the visual effects side of things, and that takes a lot of hours. I don't know. The last one, Matt works like he would get home from work at like 5 and then work till like, you know, 1 or 2 in the morning every day for like a month straight. So, and sometimes later than that. So it's mostly the post hours that because we're both doing it in shifts. Like, he'll work on his VFX and then I'll do sound design on what he's worked on, and we'll just keep shifting off, and our poor computer is so tired. And so our shooting days are actually very short and easy days to shoot. So we try to keep it fun for everybody. So everybody is very eager to like shoot with us, because they're like, oh, I know we're going to go in and be like there for a day, and they're going to give us really awesome pizza and it's going to be great.
Talk about maybe the CG side. Talk about, you know, you're pulling off, I mean, it looks amazing, and I know that's not easy. Obviously, like Alicia's saying, you're putting a lot of time, Matt, into editing and getting that effect in there. What are you doing to accomplish this, and how did you accomplish the 6-foot robot? That's you know, ultimately, how are you looking like a fancy movie on the screen and pulling off a robot that kicks ass?
Well, when we started, we all sort of agreed that each episode we were going to try to be more and more ambitious. And the first time that we started the episodes, we actually we were doing all the visual effects in Photoshop. We were actually exporting all the frames, frame by frame, 24 frames per second, out to Photoshop. We would do basically an animation process and then re-import it. So it took forever. And forever, even almost for the simplest effects. And, you know, what sort of the most frustrating part is, there's a lot of the time that we spend on it actually isn't on the sort of spectacular effects, the lasers and stuff like that. A lot of times it's just about removing houses and stuff that we can't, since we don't have these locations, we don't have them secured, we have to remove houses or streets or cars driving by, or, you know, anything that sort of would, you know, take you out of those scenes. We have to, with computer graphics, remove them. So in the beginning, we were just doing frame by frame, and then I started looking at tutorials and was slowly learning Adobe After Effects, which has been basically instrumental. It's basically the main program that we use. We were using Motion, but that was a little bit difficult to actually do what we wanted to. So Adobe After Effects, and we were using online tutorials to sort of scrub through them, see what we wanted to do, what we could use, and then just trying it over and over and over again until we actually got it what we wanted. And then for this episode with the robot, we actually went through a lot of cosplay websites and the Halo, the guys who make the Halo armor and the Iron Man armor, which are incredibly popular, and basically watching what they were doing and seeing how they were going about doing it. And it's the robot that's the 100-foot robot in the episode is actually a 6-foot puppet. We sort of based it off. Our inspiration was both Jim Henson and Del Toro with Hellboy 2, because a lot of Hellboy 2 was all practical effects that he used. So I personally feel that a practical effect, you know, completely overshadows anything that's computer generated. So, you know, when you see something that actually is a big puppet, it moves better and the weight behind it is a little bit better. So we agreed that originally we weren't going to make a computer-generated robot. We would actually build one and then just through force perspective make it look giant. So it's a 6-foot puppet that, I had to operate and from behind while the cameraman shot, and then we just sort of removed some of the wires and all in post.
Yeah, no, it definitely sounds a little daunting, but again, it kind of comes back to the beginning of us talking about it's actually you can actually accomplish this now, and with our technology,
definitely.
It's out there for everyone. Yeah,
it can be done. It can be done. We are proof of it.
It's probably the biggest thing is time consuming. For anyone who wanted to jump into something like this project, a similar project like you guys are doing, they need to be prepared to just educate themselves and spend the time.
Absolutely.
Yes, exactly. I mean, the thing is, the main thing is to get a cinematographer that will partner up with you. We were really lucky. I met a cinematographer at AFI named Chris Bergen, and he's become a partner in our company because he believes in it so much. And if you have someone who knows the art and can be there for you, like he's just on call, and that makes a huge difference. Because it has to look good, ultimately. Like, you have to have the education and the eye to see these things. So
right.
we're just grateful we've had such a great team join up with us.
Absolutely. I mean, it's very hard because it is a learning process. And you really, with someone who's behind the camera like Chris, you really do need someone to, one, trust you that what they are filming actually is going to look different in post. And two, who's going to be open to anything, is going to sort of let their imagination, run wild. Because a lot of times you're just telling them to point, in this episode, we're telling him to point up and film the clouds and assuring him there will be a robot, there. Because you have to shoot the environment first and then I'm the actor in it. So a lot of times me in those shots, I'm just by myself. There's no one else there. The Frankenstein, the soldiers and stuff, they're all shot at different times. So, the DP is definitely, trusting us when we're trying to explain why the frame is so, crooked.
And that's what I was going to ask Leisha, is how difficult it is to direct something that's really not there. I mean, so how difficult is that?
Yeah, it was really difficult at first for me because Matt has such a clear, being sort of the showrunner of this, he's got everything in his head, and I'm just trying to make sure that gets out on the screen. And it's gotten a lot easier as we've gone on And also, I try to watch him when he's compositing his visual effects work to try to understand. If I understand the process behind it, I understand how to get there on set. So it's, being a good director is just being very aware of what's going to happen later so you can make sure to get all your puzzle pieces together to be put together properly.
Now, since you're doing it on YouTube, this actually is a naive question on my part also, because I didn't even think to look into it to answer it myself, but are you able to track or see kind of how your fan base or following is growing and understand that, you only don't have two people out there watching you? Have you been able to kind of track that? Yeah.
Yeah, YouTube actually is really great in terms of, they call it analytics, and they're actually really, really efficient when they actually show you where the views are coming from, in a lot of ways they actually tell you, who it's coming from, whether it's male or female or, what country it's coming from. And so, yeah, they track it very well. Now, obviously, YouTube specifically does that for commercial purposes because they like to actually monetize their videos. We don't run any commercials on. Yeah, we don't actually run any commercials on our episodes. For us, it feels a little weird to have a 7-minute episode be interrupted by a 2-minute commercial. It just doesn't seem really that pleasing. So we don't run any ads whatsoever, which is kind of hard because there are other people profiting, but we're just doing it to actually to entertain people. So the analytics that were actually originally designed for the monetized side of YouTube actually have helped us sort of cater towards our actual audience.
Okay. Yeah. What was also interesting is that we had a lot of military veterans that wrote to us, and they said, you guys actually kind of externalized how we feel internally coming home after the war, that you feel like you're a broken toy. You feel like there's something. You've seen a lot of things and you've been through something and you can't express how you feel and you don't feel like the same person anymore. And they said, this was the one thing that made that they were like, that's it. That's how I feel. And we were really surprised by that. That wasn't our original intention, but once we heard from the YouTube, a few YouTube audience members, we started writing our scripts with that in mind because it was
very interesting.
It was a really interesting idea.
Oh, yeah. What are some of your goals, and where are you headed with Broken Toy? What do you guys want to accomplish and head with this? Do you want to continue as a web series? Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh yeah, we'll always love doing it. I mean, we'll do it as often as we can for 20 years if we could. It's hard because we don't have funding right now, and to be honest, we try to keep that each episode limited to around $100. So it's that's all we're spending on each episode. So and that's mostly pizza money. So we are doing it on our own, and we all have day jobs and whatnot and stuff. So we do want to continue with it, and we have had in the past people offering us to put it on their own web channels. We've sort of avoided that because there's always sort of some sort of constraint that they have, with commercials and whatnot. So, we're going to keep doing it. We've been doing it basically just as a forum to show what we can do, and Alicia actually works fairly regularly now as a director. A lot, and in a lot of ways, because her work is so easy to find online. And don't let her fool you. When she talks about just being a fangirl, those first couple episodes, she showed up with a bucket of blood. That was not in the script. She was the one who showed up with a bucket of blood that she had made.
More blood.
And she was like, "We need blood everywhere." So she is far less squeamish than I am. So she does go towards the darker side, and she is directing a horror movie coming up. So we are basically doing this to sort of hone our skills and to get our work out there.
Anything else that you feel like is with this that you would like to share with the fans? I feel your passion, and I'm sitting here kind of amazed. You guys have done such a great job, and I admire that because we all struggle and out there is like, how do we do something? How can we do it? And obviously you've proven it's you said $100 and a lot of time, but you've proven that it can be done and look amazing. So anything else about the show or about the series that you would like to share, specifically something that, you feel like the fans need to hear?
We want people to watch it because there is, as much as I love the big budget superhero films, there is always sort of some dissatisfaction. And I understand that it's a lot of times just because of the collaboration with so many people sometimes dilutes the superhero genre a little bit. And it's not as hardcore as it should be. And, we're by no means perfect whatsoever. But, we are fans. We are, comic book and sci-fi fans making a comic book and sci-fi film. And, it's a genre we love, and we want to show other fans of it. And it seems to always get good feedback. So, if people are bored, it's definitely something they should check out because we're pretty proud of it. Yeah, we're proud of it, and it's fun. And, our rule has always been that, if somebody wants to work, we work with them. We work very, very, very hard, very, very long hours. And if other people are willing to do the same, there is a place, for you, whether it's with us or whether it's, doing your own film. It definitely can be done, and it's only a matter of time before this becomes the new way basically of filmmaking.
I agree. Indie is still, even though there's indie out there, and those are films that are supposed to be low budget or no budgets, or it still is not the same when it's like this.
Yeah.
you know, it's a whole different group, I think. So
it is, you know, and it is hard. You know, you try not to get bitter when you're out here because, you know, I know so many truly independent filmmakers that, you know, basically clench up whenever they see these awards with an independent film sponsored by Warner Brothers and its budget was only $30 million, you know, and always very difficult to actually swallow. So you try not to look towards what the studio is labeling as independent. You try to do your own thing as best you could. But, you know, independent filmmakers really, you know, they are, you know, sort of the up-and-comers. I mean, Kevin Smith and all these were all independent filmmakers at one point. And, so, you know, their work, whether you like it or not, their work, you know, affects everything. And that's, you know, where, you know, the filmmakers tomorrow are, is they're cutting their teeth right now doing independent YouTube films.
Yeah, I'm excited. Alicia, do you
want to begin? Oh, yeah. It is exciting. Everybody's definition of independent it's flexible. And, you know, I find, you know, it's funny. My mentor is a really amazing television director, and she directs Homeland and several other amazing shows, and she directed a YouTube series recently and had to go back to, like, a lower budget. It was nothing near what I usually have to work with, but she was amazed. She was like, I don't know how you do what you do. I had a really hard time working under such constraints, but she found it really invigorating. She was like, I felt like I was back in school and creative, and it was fun. And so, you know, it's, you know, sometimes you don't have all the toys you need, but that, I think, informs, it makes you more creative, and you have to think your way around problem solving and situations. So, I love it.
No, it was great. I mean, I'm excited, again, to share it as much as I can. What are your social media outlets for fans to follow? What are your Facebook, Twitter, anything that they can track you guys down on?
Well, probably the easiest way right now is if they go to YouTube and search Forewarn Films, or even if you go to YouTube /Forewarn Films, all the episodes come up. In each of the episodes, we actually try our best to actually have it all listed, the Facebook, the Twitter, and, you know, the website. So if they search Forewarn Films, or if they go on Google and they type in Broken Toy and Forewarn Films, they should be able to find us pretty easily.
Okay. And Forewarned is Forewarned.
Correct.
Right. Forewarned
film.
Yeah, that's forewarned, right.
Forewarned
is forearmed.
Yep, absolutely.
And also, I would love to ask if you guys mind doing a soundbite for us.
I don't mind at all. My name is Matt Christen, and I'm talking to Michelle at Variety Radio Online. It's
Thanks,
awesome.
Matt. Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Alicia. I'm excited to share this with my friends and post this on my personal website and a personal Facebook, because you guys just did a really great job, and I really appreciate your time tonight. And hopefully we can share it enough that, you know, we can get you a few more followers.
Yeah, that would be lovely. Thank you.
Thank you
welcome.
So much, Michelle. This has been amazing. You made my weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. I look forward to... like I said, sharing it. So you guys have a great weekend. And,
all right, you too.
And I'll get Amy to connect us later.
Okay,
thank you so
excellent.
Much.
Thank you so much, Michelle.
Okay.
You bet. Good night.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good.
Listeners, you can follow us on Twitter at the VRO or our website, thevro.com, for this interview and so much more. I will have this up in the next few days, or Amy will. And what we'll do also is we'll post so you can click and watch this on YouTube, because we obviously at VRO don't have restrictions and will not have any advertisements to be able to for you to click straight to their video. Very exciting, fans. I was very impressed when I watched it. It was amazing. It looked like a mini movie. Also, I want to always thank our sponsors. You can find them at our website, Elite Accounting Services and Enchanticon. And again, if you're not signed up for Enchanticon, go to their webpage and sign up. It's in November. Thanks. Talk to everyone soon. Happy Friday. Have a great weekend. Peace out.
Record better audio anywhere with Motive Digital Microphones from Shure. Easy-to-use options like the MV88 plug directly into your phone or computer and include a free app. Create studio-quality sound for podcasts, music, and videos. Visit Shure.com to learn more.